Psalms chapter 116. Very familiar verses, but something I feel like preaching to us here for just a little while tonight. I'm not going to be long-winded. I'm not a long-winded preacher. First time I ever went away to preach by myself out of Ohio, because, you know, everybody likes you at home, or they say they do. And I went away, went to Alabama, you know, Brother Donnie Williamson, went and preached for Brother Donnie, and started revival on Sunday morning, and everybody's there on Sunday mornings, and it was my first revival away from home. And I got up and preached, and it was the worst preaching I have ever heard in my life. It was terrible. I was so nervous and so beyond myself, I lost my train of thought. You preachers ever done that? Didn't hardly know where I was going, what I was doing. And in about 17, 18 minutes, I made altar call. Sister Williamson came up to me. She said, "Brother, that was phenomenal." I thought, "Dear Lord, I've come to revival. The pastor's wife's backslid. She's lying in church." It was terrible. I knew she was lying. I knew. I mean, you couldn't. And she looked at me, though, and she let me know she wasn't fibbing. She said, "It wasn't what you said that I enjoyed. It's what you did." And I said, "What'd I do?" She said, "I've tried to tell every young preacher that comes through here a half hour's plenty long enough for a good sermon. It's way too long for a bad one." She said, "And you sit down when you realize it's bad. I enjoy that." Praise God. So since then, I've figured out if I can keep it short, it don't have to be good. People just like me. Praise God. So how about we keep it short tonight and preach what we feel like the Lord's laid on our hearts. Psalms chapter 116. The Bible said, "I love the Lord." Say that with me. I love the Lord. How many love the Lord? "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him." How long? "As long as I live." The sorrows of death. I want you to follow this timeline here. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. "O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." When he got done praying, he said one word: "Gracious." Praise God. When he got done praying, after all the sorrow, all the pain, all the trouble, hell gripping him, he got down to pray. And when he got up, he could say one word about God: "Gracious." Praise God. "Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." You may be seated here tonight. I want to read verse 1 and verse 2 just real quick again. The Bible says, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my supplications." And what's the very next word again in verse 2? Said, "Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." I want to preach for a little while tonight simply on them first four words of Psalms 116. I want to preach for a text here tonight on "I love the Lord because." I love the Lord because. Amen. And I could turn this microphone to you, and this is a sermon that would preach itself. Amen? Four words. I love the Lord because. I don't know what your reason is. I don't know why. Have you ever had a young kid come to you and ask you, and they just keep saying, "Why? Why? Why? Why?" It's over and over and over. Have you ever encountered, and I'm going to preach, but have you ever encountered somebody in the outside world, and they don't understand why you're here on a Wednesday night? They don't understand why you ran out of work to hurry up and get here? They don't understand why you got a hamburger through a fast food restaurant to show up barely in time and maybe running in on the second song or whatever it was just to get into the house of God, and they just don't understand it. And sometimes all we can say is, "Because." Hey, man, just hold on here. I'm going, I love him because, amen, and my because is a lot different than yours. My story's not the same as yours. My valley hasn't, my valley ain't what yours is. My mountain ain't what yours has been. My road, my path has taken me down a different direction than a lot of you have. Some has faced sickness. Some has faced heartache. Some has had losses in families. I mean, we could sit here tonight and talk about everything that we've gone through. And I mean, the list would grow so long that we would never be able. I mean, we wouldn't get out of this service tonight. But I'm simply here to say, Lord, I love you, and there's a few reasons. Praise God. The psalmist said, first off, I love you because you've heard my voice. Praise God. Have you ever picked up the phone and heard somebody on the other end and not recognized who it was? Brother Kevin Webster called a few years back, and I was somewhere preaching, I can't even remember now, and he was up our way, and he called, and he said, hey, he said, I got somebody that needs to talk to you. They want to say something. He gave the phone to a man and said, hello, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. He said, you know who this is? No, have no clue. Talk a little bit. He talked for a while, and I talked for a while, and he told stories. He told stories that I knew, told adventures I knew. Had no idea who he was. I hadn't talked to him much on the phone. He's my first cousin. I had no idea who it was. He went to the same church I did, but I didn't recognize his voice. Do you realize there's never been a time that you've ever got down to pray that God had to figure out who you were? He never got you confused with me. He never got me confused with your pastor. He never got your pastor confused with his father-in-law. He knows our voice. When I get down and I say, Father, you know, the first thing he does, and we know he inclines his ear to us, but yes, my son, he knows me. I mean, everything about me. And so long before I ever come to pray, he knows what I'm in need of, but I need to bring my burdens to the Lord. Is that right? And the psalmist said, let me tell you why I love him. I love him because every single time I prayed, he knew my voice. Not only did he know my voice, but he heard my supplications. He knows me. He listens to me. Not only does he know me and he listen to me, he said, but I tell you why else, and I'm going to preach because we're going somewhere, but he said, I tell you why else I love him. Not only does he know me, not only does he hear me, but he's waiting. He's got his ear inclined. And because of it, he said, I'm going to call upon him as long as I live. Now, it's great to say all that, but then life happens. Hello, stay with me a minute. I love him. I love him because. I love him because he heard me. I love him because he listened to me. I love him because he got his ear inclined to me. And then one day he wakes up and life begins to happen. And the sorrows of death can pass him. Whether it be him, whether it be a mother, father, whether it be a son, daughter, sister, brother, whatever it is, the sorrows of death has now compassed me. I have been hit smack dab in the middle of the face with life. And I want to tell you right now, when life happens, the first thing the devil wants to do is tell you there is no hope, there is no reason, God has forgot you, God has forsaken you, God don't care about you. But he said, listen, the sorrows of death can pass me. And not only that, but I got so low that it felt like hell retched up and got a hold of me. I was almost gone. What's the psalmist say in one place? My feet had well nigh slipped. He said, the pains or the sorrows of death can pass me. And the pains of hell got hold upon me. And when I looked around, I only found two things. I found trouble and I found sorrow. There was nothing else for my life. I don't know what I'm going to do now. But Brother Jones, you don't understand. I can't be there on Wednesday night. I faced a terrible loss. I can't come Sunday. I just feel like I just don't feel like I'm right with God. Hell's calling for me. I'm just about to backslide. I'm just about to lose my sanctification. Listen, Brother Jones, I can't sing in the choir anymore. I can't teach Sunday school any longer. Don't ask me to preach, please, because everywhere I turn, all I find is sorrow and all I find is trouble. But I like what the psalmist does. He shakes himself after a little while and he said, wait, hold on. I got to remember them first two verses. I got to remember the picture of him listening. I got to remember the picture of him cupping his hand over his ear. I got to remember all my becauses. I got to remember all my reasons. And then he said this, I called upon the name of the Lord and I said, oh Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. I'm sorry for doubting. I'm sorry for worrying. I'm sorry for feeling like I was about gone. And he got up from praying and he said, gracious! Woo! Gracious is the Lord. Man, God's so good to me that he took care of me before my trial. He took care of me during my trial. And he brought me through my trial. And now after it, I can say, gracious is the Lord. God loves me and he cares about me. Oh, hallelujah. But I got a lot of causes. I'm just going to tell this. I won't be here long. I got an 11-year-old boy. I got five kids at home, and got them all the way from 5 to 18. And got an 11-year-old boy at home, Cole David Miller. And Cole, at 8 months old, we fed Cole baby food. No idea that without the intervention of the Lord, that'd be our last day with Cole. None. Fed him just small little thing. We thought my mom and dad was gone. Devin and Dustin was gone. Our two older kids, they was out west on vacation. And so it was just me and my wife and Cole at 8 months old. We was there at the house. And we thought Cole had went into seizures. And we called 911. Cole was lifeless, laying there on the kitchen table. We were doing everything we could. We were trying to perform CPR. We were doing any and everything. When the paramedics got there, we had already called what is my godmother and father. They're really first cousins, but I grew up staying at their house, and I've never seen Eddie. And if Brother Gary was in here, he'd know Eddie. And you all know Eddie Henson sits in the back, and you never ever know him to say a word. But when Eddie come, I've never seen him cry. Eddie lost it. And they took that limp body of my 8-month-old baby, and they rushed out the doors, and they ran into the ambulance. They wouldn't let me and mom go. They didn't go to ER. They was going to take him to urgent care. ER was too far away. He was flatlining. They would get a little bit of a pulse and lose it. I don't even know who got a hold of everybody. I'm sure I called, but I can't remember calling. I was so nervous, so scared. Harrison was about a 10-minute drive, if that. And we drove there at breakneck speed, getting as fast as we could into that little small town urgent care. All I remember is when I pulled in, the church was there. I don't know how they got there that quick. I have no idea. I remember Brother Pascarella, who's one of my best friends. I remember Brother Jerry being there. And I remember they pulled Cole out of that stretcher. The only thing I can think of is they called while they were at the house because everybody's waiting. And they pulled Cole out of the stretcher. And I remember the Holy Ghost hitting two or three of them preachers. And man, they had a Holy Ghost explosion in the parking lot there at urgent care. And Cole started to get a little bit of life, and They kept him in there. They sent him on to Children's Hospital. We stayed in Children's Hospital with him for a long period of time, several stints. They would run brain. They would run brain waves. He would just go into seizure activity for no reason. For about 2.5 years, we treated him for seizures. Thought that's what it was. Come to find out, we knew he had a few allergies. They had found out from there. But come to find out, Cole would be allergic to literally every food group there was but seafood. Allergic to milk, allergic to soy, allergic to wheat, allergic to barley, allergic to any and everything you can think of. He couldn't eat anything. We had to buy some natural foods and cook them, and it went that way for years. They took him off his seizure medicine, told us, said, you'll have to live like this, you know, forever. He ain't never going to get any better. It's never going to do any good. We'd take him in every year. We was going to get him tested every year. We'd stand in every prayer line we could. We'd seek God and pray and seek God and pray. And year after year after year, nothing. Nothing. And about 4 years ago, somewhere in there, Cole was, I think, 7. I may have my timeline off. It could have been 6, 7. So about 4 or 5 years ago, when Cole was starting to know more about praying, Cole would come into the table and he'd say, "Dad, God's going to heal me. God's going to heal me." Well, we believed with him, but you know, after 20 prayers and 50 prayers and 100 prayers and 200 prayers, you ever been there? After a few times, you come to the prayer line and you ain't praying. You're just looking good so the pastor and nobody else can think any different. I did a few of them. You ever been there? They told us that Cole would be able to eat wheat. That opened up a few little things. Not much. He could have Cheerios. He could have one or two brands of cereal. It opened up one kind of bread. We'd have to read every label. We'd go to classes, stay in classes. Well, about 1.5 years ago, Cole got earnest in prayer. Cole, like I said, is 11 years old now at our church. 11 starts the youth group because that's when youth camp, you can go to youth camp at 12. We let 11-year-olds in, so they start youth group at 11. So Cole was going to, at 9, 10, he's getting big now, man. He's getting ready. And Cole'd start praying more. So I remember one day we left the altar praying. And I was so discouraged. Renee was so discouraged. And we went home, and we had his test the next day. And Cole looked up at us, and he said, "Mom, Dad, when I get down there, Jesus is going to heal me." Well, we got down there, no change. Same thing as it had been for almost 11 years. Renee was crying. Coming home, Mama's worried. I was worried. Dads don't worry as much. We don't show it as much. You understand? We got to be. And Cole looked up in the car and he said, "Hey, Dad." I said, "Yes, son." He said, "Don't worry." He said, "There's always next year." I said, "Yeah." He said, "They talk about that one lady. And that one man," and he started giving examples. He said, didn't they keep praying over and over and over and over?" "Yes, son." He said, "Well, I'm going to get healed." We took him back for a test. We went into several prayer lines. One night, they called up for prayer, and Cole looked over at me, and I did not want to pray. And I hope you don't fall out with me. I was beyond taking him to another prayer line. It's been 10 years. "Hey, Dad, tonight's the night. Let's go." "All right, son." We went down. Cole got prayed for. It was either the next day or maybe a week, but it was just a few days later. We went down, got tested, and we got the results back. And lo and behold, all the levels had dropped. Can't believe it. Took us in. We're going to do this one challenge. So they're going to start doing some baked milk challenges. So Renee had to start buying milk and or the boxed powdered milk and substitute eggs with applesauce and put it in the cake mix with boxed milk, but make sure you bake it. And it just did not look good. And I'm telling you, Cole would eat that thing and he'd say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you." Every time he'd eat it, he'd say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me." I looked over at Renee. I said, "He's not healed." She said, "Hush." Amen. You follow me? Last week, we took Cole down, and they did some more testing, did a bunch of stuff, and they had ran all of his levels. And you got to understand, we've never been able to eat out with Cole. Not been able. Could you imagine my father be able to go through the drive-thru, get all the grandkids' food except Cole? We'd go through McDonald's. Everybody got Happy Meals. Cole got a toy. Everybody got Happy Meals. Cole got to bring a piece of ham that Mom cooked at home. Make sure nothing touched it. You understand? We sat in that doctor's office, and she looked over, and she looked at his numbers, and she said, "Well," she said, "I got good news." She said, "It ain't going to be much, but I got some good news." I said, "Okay, what is it?" She said, "We're going to start allowing him to eat at McDonald's, but he can only have nuggets and fries." He'd never had fries from a restaurant in his life. She said, "We're going to send you to Chick-fil-A right now, but only eat the nuggets and fries, but just the grilled nuggets, just for now. And we'll let you go to Chipotle. Just don't eat the cheese and sour cream because we're not sure yet." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She said, we think that he is better." And Cole looked over at me. He said, "Healed. Healed." Amen. And I said, "What's this mean?" They said, "Let him eat all the Chick-fil-A. Let him eat all the Chipotle." I'm telling you, Chick-fil-A is going to break me. Let me eat all the Chick-fil-A, all the Chipotle, all the McDonald's he can. Said in 6 months we're going to come down, and if he handles that, we're going to let him eat the icing on a cake. They said if he does good after that, and they had no idea, but as just a 2 or 3 year old kid, he would look up at his mom and he'd say, "One day, I'm going to eat ice cream like everybody else." He said, "I want ice cream so bad." And that nurse looked over at him and she said, "If you pass that, son," she said, "we'll let you eat ice cream." His eyes got real big. He walked out of that hospital. He called his mom. He called his grandpa. He called his grandma. Called everybody he could. He said, "Guess where I'm going?" They said, "Where?" He said, "I'm going to Chick-fil-A." Man, I took him to Chick-fil-A. We were so happy to sit down. I've never been so happy to spend money in my entire life. I was buying all the waffle fries I could. He said, "How many can I have?" I said, "I don't care." Man, I'm telling you, he sat down there, and at 11 years old, a Sunday night in church, the Lord got moving. And 11 years old, my son's never got up in church. He's always been backward. He walked up to the front of the church, Brother Gary, grabbed the microphone and said, with tears streaming down his eyes, he said, "For years, I've been waiting on God to move. And for years, I've been waiting on God to touch me." And he said, "It may not seem like much to you, but I'm eating McDonald's fries when I go home tonight." Praise God. I want to tell you something, friend. I got a lot of because, as you hear me. My story could go on and on and on and on. But tonight, I stand here with a little 11-year-old boy at my house that, you know what Dad does now? Dad would get him up, load him in the van, and say, "Hey, son, you want to go eat somewhere?" And every time I do, it's only been a week, but we've already went out about 5 times, Brother Gary. Hallelujah. My wife said, "You're going to break us." I said, "Hush." Amen. She told me to hush. I told her, anyway, we love each other. We're playing. But anyhow, we walk in there, and every time we do, when we order, me and Cole sit down. The first thing Cole says, he'll say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." I want to tell you something, friend. When Daddy got discouraged, when mom and dad felt like there was no more reason to pray, when it seemed like trouble and sorrow was all around, it was then that I called out upon the name of the Lord, and I got up, and you know what I said last Monday when I got up from praying and I left that doctor's office? Guess what I said? Gracious, 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 gracious. I want to tell you here tonight, I don't know your story. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're facing. I mean, it may be the biggest mountain you've ever faced in your life, but there's going to come a day. It may be in the morning. It may be next week. It may be next month, but you'll come back in this church saying, gracious is the Lord. Gracious is the Lord. I want to tell you tonight, I love the Lord because he's heard my prayer. And I feel like telling Lorraine, Broadway Assembly here tonight, that I don't care what it is you've been praying for. The Lord sent me by to tell you he has heard your prayer. He knows what you're facing. Hey, I'm going to tell you, friend, don't stop praying now. I gotta hurry. Don't stop praying now.
One story, and I'll close.
Did you ever preach for Brother Gishtown in Central City, Kentucky? Brother Gary. Did you ever preach for Brother Keith Gish? Do you remember Brother Brown that pioneered the church? Old Brother Brown pioneered that church. Brother Brown would sit on the right-hand side of the church. I'm closing after this. Sit on the right-hand side of the church. Man, we was having a great revival. And Brother Brown hadn't walked without his walker in years. He couldn't. He is up in years and feeble now and had just done a great work for the Lord. And that night, someone had got up and was telling about what God had done for him. Not in a powerful move of God yet, but just told about what God had done. Seeing Brother Brown get up, and his body shook, and he grabbed that walker, and he started making his way to the front of the church. He motioned for Brother Gish. He said, come here. And Brother Gish come up. He said, I want you to pray for me. He said, but before you do, I need the microphone.
Brother Gish handed to the founder of the church.
Great man. He began to cry. He said, church, I failed you, and I failed the Lord. He said, I've preached and preached to trust God all these years. And he said, I've taken defeat. He said, and I ain't even tried to get God to heal me. He said, I just felt like there was no use. He said, but sitting over in my chair or in my seat tonight, he said, the Lord told me if I would believe him and trust him, I'd die not ever needing a walker again. Pretty big statement for a guy who hadn't walked in a few years without it. They laid hands on him. He took his walker. He pushed it to the side. And he had to get help to the front row. And he got to the front row. And he held on. And he started walking down that front row there. And it got to where the break in the pews were. And he took a few steps and he held on. And he started walking around the side. Well, he didn't know what he was doing. But he was doing a Jericho march. Couldn't even walk and started a Jericho march. He got about a quarter of the way down the side. He turned around. He said, don't mind me, church. He said, when I get done, he said, I'm going to be fine. Go ahead and sing and pray. He said, I'm just walking around my wall. That's all. 87 years old, He said, I'm just walking around the wall. He got to walking around the church. He made it about halfway to down this side, and then he cut through the other way, and he come back down. And when he got back up to the platform, he said, preacher, anoint me one more time. And when Brother Gish laid hands on him, the power of God hit Brother Brown, and he shouted all over the place. And the next thing we looked up, Brother Brown was making laps around the church, running with everything in him. I'm telling you right now, you know what he did the rest of that revival? He'd come in every night and he would just walk the entire service. They sung, we preached, they prayed. He'd just walk. He stopped one night. He said, don't look at me strange. He said, the devil told me I'd never walk again. He said, so I told him, you know what I'm going to do every night this revival? I'm going to walk from the time it starts to the time it's over just to prove you a liar. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, friend. Gracious is the Lord. Can you come get us a song, sis? Gracious. 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 Brother Matt told me to just make the altar any way we felt. And I'll tell you what I feel like doing. As our sister begins to play and sing, if you're here tonight, I know this is going to hit everybody, so I don't. We've all got situations, but I mean you're really up against it. It's been months. It's been years. You don't know if you're ever going to see an answer to that prayer. I'm here to tell you tonight, God is going to answer. You hear me? And I believe it could be tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
And even if not, we'll come back and pray Sunday. And if not, then we'll come pray Sunday night. And if not, then we'll be praying Monday and Tuesday, and we'll come back to church Wednesday believing. But for some in here, whether it be one or two or three or the whole church, tonight could just be your night. Don't have to be an earthquake. Don't have to be a thunderous roar. But God could answer your prayer tonight. To the extent that when you come back Sunday, you'll have to say, Brother Jones, I got to say one thing. Gracious is the Lord. Gracious is the Lord. Is there anybody here tonight that say, I've been praying about some things for a long time? There's more than one of us. We're going to make general altar call, and we're going to give everybody a chance to pray. But if you've been praying about some things, I want you to just step out of your seat right now. Whether it be sickness, whether it be child that's not saved, whether it be a job situation, whether it be finances, whatever it is, you've been praying. I want you to step out of your seat. And I want us to find a place to pray as our good sister's playing and beginning to sing. And let's just come pour our heart out to God. And let's just say, Lord, I love you because you've never let me down. I love you because you've always been there. I love you because you've always heard me. I love you because you've never turned me down, never turned me away. Come on, church.
Keep praying till the answer comes. Till the answer comes, you've got to keep praying. Keep on praying. Keep praying. Till the answer comes, you've got to keep praying. Keep praying till the answer comes. Till the answer comes, you gotta keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying till the answer comes. You gotta keep praying. Keep praying till the answer comes. Till the answer comes, you gotta keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying till the answer comes. You gotta keep praying. Just keep praying till the answer comes. Till the answer comes, you gotta keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Till the answer comes, you gotta keep praying. Keep praying till the answer comes. If you knock one time and there's no answer, then don't turn away from the door. You've got to knock again until you've been let in. Sometimes it only takes once more. Till the answer comes, you've got to keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Till the answer comes, you've got to keep praying. Keep praying till the answer comes. Till the answer comes, you gotta keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Till the answer comes, you gotta keep praying. Keep praying till the answer comes.